Going to continue in Exodus chapter 14, and the authors have entitled our lesson Crossing the Red Sea, and in it we can continue to see the salvific process of salvation, sanctification. In this particular week, sanctification, because just because you get saved, just because you've been delivered, doesn't mean that you are out of danger. Oh, y'all swallow. That's right, y'all got it made. Today's lesson is going to point out that just because you're saved does not mean that you won't run up against some obstacles that will just flat drive you crazy. That you can't do nothing about, that you don't possess the skill, the talent, the wherewithal, the money, the cash, the clothes to overcome the circumstances that are set before you. But when that happens, I only asked you to do one thing. Respond the right way. Somebody say respond the right way. All right, we're going to tell you how to respond to deliverance, all right, this morning. Out of Egypt, you're being pursued. Out of Egypt, yet not going where we thought we were going to go. You're out of Egypt, but you still got troubles. You say, you sanctify, filled with the Holy Ghost, but you still got problems. What is the appropriate response to circumstances that come after your deliverance? Well, we're going to get a chance to see, but I only want to apply these to saved folk, but it appears to me, Deacon Ford, that saved folk ought to respond differently to adversity than unsaved folk. Would you think? Because when you respond like the world would respond, it's an attitude of ungratefulness. I mean, and we're in the Thanksgiving season, so you know we ought to at least talk about how good God is. We ought to at least remember how good He is, and if He's good then, and He's good now, He'll be good tomorrow, because He is timeless. He runs throughout time. He transcends time. Then somebody, pray tell. Y'all know I'm going to be suave today. I'm using words like pray tell. Somebody, pray tell. Please tell me, how is it that you can be delivered from bondage, from slavery, and in 3 days? I ain't talking about 3 months, 3 years, 300 years. I'm not, in 3 days, forget all that God has done. That to me is an attitude of ungratitude. In other words, there ain't nothing grateful about your attitude when you can forget how much God has done for you. But, I don't want you to be too critical of the folk that are depicted here in the narrative this morning, right here in Exodus chapter 14. I don't want you to be too critical of them, but rather, I'd rather you look at the scriptures and then look at yourself. Because how often do we forget how good God has been to us? Got more than you ever had in your life. You got so much, Terry, you can share it with your friends. Take them all out. Feed them hard. Girl. Make them laugh. Got it going on. Got it going on. You know, grandparents couldn't even buy shoes. You can buy shoes for your guests that you take out to eat. I love it. I love it. I love it. Why would you be ungrateful? God's been good to you. And you know what? It ain't that He has been good. He is being good. Because it's a process. God has been good. He is good. And He will be good. God has saved. He is saving. And He will save. Y'all with me this morning? So you know which way we're going to go. There ought to be a proper way to respond then if you are one of the recipients of that. But let's see how the children who are about to cross the Red Sea, and I notice they use the word crossing, active, in process of crossing the Red Sea. Let's see how they respond. And it's found here in verses 10 through 22. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Is everything okay, all right, so far? Well, let's see. Because they're responding, Minister Brown. They're responding. And here's how they responded. They were so afraid. So let me tell you what the response of a Holy Ghost filled saint is not. Fear. Whenever Jesus ever approached any of his disciples and they were having a dilemma, the first thing he said, fear not. The first thing they do is they fear. Now, last week, as we talked about the order of salvation and how the Spirit of God is right there with them, the presence of God is right there with them, did they not hear the low muttering thunder of horses and chariots last week? And God was with them, but they feared and were very afraid, and they cried out. Well, you know what? Whenever you get in trouble, you ought to cry out. You ought to say, Lord, have mercy on me. You don't need to even be pretentious, like, well, I'm gonna get the suck it up. No, cry out. Oh, Lord, help me. Because let me tell you one thing. What they're about to go through, Mo, this ain't no ordinary experience. Salvation is no ordinary experience. What you're about to go through, when a person who has not been saved, what they're about to go through after they get saved, is monumental. I mean, there are a lot of things that you have to do. First of all, Jesus says you got to deny yourself. That means you got to die to self. In other words, you got to focus on Him and not yourself. You're going to focus on His needs and not your needs. And the first thing we see here is you just shouldn't be afraid. And you say, well, Brother Need, I don't see that. Well, we're going to keep reading and I'll show you that that is not the response, because there's a proper response to all your dilemmas. Whenever your circumstances are greater than you can ever imagine, that's when God steps in. But guess what? They didn't even have to go that far, because they were following a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. They were following the visible manifestation of God all along. But when they saw, see, that's why your physical eyes will fool you, folks. Your physical eyes will mess you up. I hear my wife laughing real hard back there. You're laughing too hard, dear. Laughing up. But your physical eyes are mess you up. Because she knows what I'm about to say. You know. But I ain't. Your physical eyes, they'll mess you up. And see, when they lifted up, they got afraid. And they cried out. Verse 11 says, and what? Oh, this verse right here is power-packed. Let me show you why. Let me show you why, Steve. When last week I made a statement, and some people, he just talking. I'm dead serious. When in my street days, I only wanted to fight folk who were mad, because when you get mad, you don't think very well. You don't think. You're on your way to defeat if you are mad and fighting me, okay? Because I'm a tactician. So you get mad, I already done figured out I'm gonna take you out. Because you mad, you ain't gonna think. You're not gonna think. Look, listen. Y'all gotta hear this. Because people who are mad, people who are upset, say some of the craziest things you ever wanted to hear. Even lie. You saw it, didn't you, Harry? You saw it. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, buddy. There were no graves in Egypt? Oh, wait a minute. But you know what? I thought dad was dead. You mean to tell me you're about to spurt out your mouth that you would rather have died in slavery than die free in the wilderness? You'd rather die in Egypt. And you know what? It's a dangerous doctrine. Because you got to understand, this is cultic at its very core. See, I told y'all, that's why y'all got to stay in the process, the 105. See, I can identify. When I looked at 11, I said 105, 105, 105. See, because here's what happened. Egypt was known for its graveyards and tombs. They had perfected the art of mummification. So here these fools are saying is that, you don't send me out here to die, and I could have had my body embalmed in Egypt. When you're angry and upset, you'll say some stupid stuff. And it says it adopted. You got to realize that embalming ritual, the entombing of the great pharaohs and all the great graves in Egypt, it was in itself a way of worship in Egypt. And that's what they were. You've taken us out here and let us miss our opportunity to worship in death. See how crazy it is? That's why you have to spot it, guys, for what it is. When people say some of the craziest things. Okay. And wherefore, let's see, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we what? I implore you to go in the scripture and find where they told Moses that. So if it's not the truth, it's what? Thank you. People lie. When they get desperate, they see Pharaoh. They see imminent death. They got afraid. They cried out. And you know what? They complained. Whenever you're faced with life's obstacles during this Christian walk, don't fear and don't complain. Don't fear and don't complain. God's got you. He's already said last week, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you. And I'll be with you no matter what. Even when you come up against obstacles that you had not thought about. See, they thought they were just going to skip tiptoe through the tulips, through the desert. Verse 12. Verse 13, I'm sorry.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you in the midst of you,
verses 10 through 12 tell us how not to respond in difficult situations. And they are, first of all, don't be scared. Don't complain. And there's a third one in there. Don't lie. Don't lie on the man of God. That's sin. That's sin. Folk, don't lie on the man of God. Don't say you told the man of God one thing and you know you didn't. Because that's sin. And you know how I know? When you get time, or for those of you who have already been to basic, Numbers 21. That was the first sin identified in the desert. They lied on the man of God. We sick of this manna. We loathe this bread. Why have you brought us out here? So, okay. Now, so it says, verse 13 says, here's how you respond properly to adverse situations during the sanctification process. Because you will have trouble. You will have trials. Knowing that you're going to have them, know one thing. It's all in God's hands, first of all. But here's what your response should be. It's right there. Fear ye not. First thing, don't be scared. Wrong response, be scared. Correct response, don't be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a sound mind. It ain't no sound mind for you to remember that you asked for slavery and you wanted to be buried in Egypt rather than come and get freedom. That's not a sound mind. You're crazy. Next phrase. Oh, right there. Somebody got it. Stand still. No. Stand still. Y'all didn't hear. What does stand still mean? Give me a one. Don't move. In other words, stop. Oh, I thought somebody would have jumped on. Oh, yes, Sister Nita, you got it. I'm telling you, right here in verse 13 is the order of salvation all over again. You've got to trust God. Fear not. You've got to stand still. You've got to repent. You've got to repent is simply stop doing what you're doing. It's called termination for you basic doctrine students. Test question number 14. Test. Okay. Y'all play with this thing if you want to. Stand still. Don't you move. Stop. In other words, there's danger ahead. There's danger behind. Don't move. Because God said, don't move. In other words, this stand still is simply be obedient to God. Submit to the words of God. Don't be scared and stop. You're in danger. And you know what? That makes me so mad about folk. Because as I used to be an old timer, believe it or not. See, I didn't used to be an old timer. But now, every time I say something, Harry, every time I say, oh man, you always remembering when such and such happened. You always got a story for something. Wait, if you're living, you're going to accumulate stories. The reason why you ain't got no stories, you ain't been living. You ain't been doing nothing. People who ain't got no experience can't tell you about what's happening. But I would be remiss if I knew there's a hole down there on Church Parkway that's swallowing up cars that I wouldn't tell you about just because I don't want to say, well, I've been that way before and there's a big hole there, so I'll just keep this to myself. That's crazy. God says, fear not, stand still, and then see. Y'all better hear me. And see salvation. I mean, you can see salvation? See, that sounds to me like faith. Oh, y'all better help me. God says, you've got to trust me. I've got this thing. Sure, you're being beat up by your peers and even your enemies. And mostly your enemies. But you know what? Here's what I want you to do. Don't you be scared. You stop where you are right now. Don't move. There's dynamite there. Don't move. Stop, stop. I've got to clear the path. Well, you entering men, you know, you ain't going to run through no path, running after the Viet Cong without having EOD check the minefield. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which what? For now, keep reading verse 14. Fear not, stand still, see salvation of the Lord, because it's the Lord's battle, not yours. Ephesians 2:8-9. Anybody? Ephesians 2:8-9. Nope. And not my 102. Not my 102 instructor. She can't do that. You can't do that, Sister Samson. And this is Father. Uh-huh. What? So in other words, salvation looks just like this experience here in verse 13. It says you don't have nothing to do with the victory that's about to take place now. You have nothing to do with your salvation. It's only by the grace that I'm saving you. Through faith. The faith is the conduit to grace. Or for grace. Grace is not of you. Grace is unmerited favor. I'm not doing this because you deserve this. You've been complaining. You've been fearing. You've been lying and complaining on the man of God. Read verses 10 through 12. That's what you don't deserve nothing. But I need you to stand still, fear not, and see if you don't get saved. Not by work, not by your works, not by your mights, not because you're a mighty army, not because you're going to pull your sword, you know, and fight, not because you're going to unholster your Glock or your M16. They ain't got nothing. They have nothing to fight with. They are totally vulnerable. The only thing they got on their side, Wes, is numbers. They 2 million, and there's about 200,000, 300,000 running after them. But guess what? They got women and children and oxen, and they ain't got no weapons. And you're talking about the might of Almighty Pharaoh is coming down to them. All the power that they think exists in earth is in Pharaoh's army, coming after them. And God says, do nothing and see if you don't get saved. Ah, man, I tell you, I think I need to go on a sabbatical. Because then, hey, you know, when you can't get away from the scripture that says, guys, this salvation thing is important. And I'm going to bring it to you in every chapter of the book of the Bible if you'll just look and study with me. I'll show you it's not of you. You can, the way that you will become a mighty church is to obey the voice of God. Because it is God that gives you the victories, thusly making you great. not of yourselves, because y'all are boasts. Oh man, we built that church. We saved that church. God says it was a gift, and I could have given it to any community in America, but I gave it to a little town called Shirts. Next verse. Y'all with me? Okay. Stand still. Fear not. See. And Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the people. See, because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's why he asked Moses to speak to the people. Okay? But there's another very important thing right there. Right. I see it right there. It says, and tell the children to do what? Go. Wait a minute. Hey, God, didn't you just tell me to stop? Yeah. But hey, in order for you to go in the right direction, because repenting means you stop doing what you're doing, but you're getting ready to move in a different direction. Matter of fact, and God is so complicated, his plans are so complicated that he stops you from going in the wrong direction so that you can move in the right direction, and it's the same direction. Y'all don't hear me? That ain't nothing but God. That shows the plans. God knows the plans he has for you. He is the mighty strategic planner. But he's not only strategic, he's tactical. He has the plan. And he can execute the plan. And he'll give you a participation. See, the strategists don't let you in on Air Force planners. That's all I know about. Air Force planner, do they let y'all know what the plans are before they make the plans? No. But the orders come down, and they say, Harry, get them boys, mobilize those boys, put them over in this position, because you got to move. Because in order to execute the plans, they're always talking about movement. Let me tell you something, folks. See, we're talking about activity here. Salvation is no mind, my, bind, by, pie in the sky sort of experience. Salvation says you stop what you're doing, you listen to the word of God, you become emboldened and encouraged, then you got to move. You got to go. He says, go forward. Go right into the danger, though, that you were afraid of. See, because here's the thing. There are some fools that were really thinking, you know what, if we just maybe turn back into Pharaoh, we'll be safe there. I see that water. Okay? We ain't gonna make it. Mr. Moses, can you go up there and talk to Pharaoh and tell him we were just kidding? We were coming back. You staring at the Gulf of Suez. That's where they are. That's what the Red Sea really is. And you say, hey, that's a lot of water. And you know, and they sitting over there talking. Well, I said, well, you know, hey, it's been a long time been down in Egypt bringing in that sun, laying them bricks. I think I can swim this thing. But most of them said, well, how are you going to take, you going to swim with the cows also? You know, what about all this gold and silver we done bought? It's not practical. So God is saying, you can't figure a way out, but I know the plan. Here's what I want you to do. And Moses, notice he didn't come down there and speak to no 2 million people. I want to stay there for a minute. And I'm confused. There's a cloud that's been following us. been leading us, rather. And we know it as God. We're convinced that it's God. Well, God, why don't you let me in on your plan and let me decide whether or not I'm going to accept your plan? Because what's your alternative? You're either going to do it God's way or you're going to die. You know why? Because Pharaoh already made up in his mind. I'm going to kill as many of them as I can, and I'm bringing the rest of them back to put in slavery. They mad. See, it's just like running from the police, folks. Stop doing it. Soapbox time, West. I'm sorry. Gun. Badge. Bulletproof vest. Walking shoes. Tank top. And a jewel in my hand. Anybody know what a jewel is? All right, have I described it adequately? The man says, stop, come here. He can say, son, thug, a boy, girl, whatever he wants. It's his vernacular. But just because he calls me that, because I'm going to properly identify myself once I've been given permission. Y'all don't hear me. Kind sir, officer, how can I help you in your investigation this evening? Need your license? Oh, I certainly have that. Just going inside my pocket here. Yeah, get off the street. Don't come. I'm going on. I got my life. I can see my children and grandchildren, my whole future before me. But see, when you get mad, you make stupid decisions. Ain't nobody don't talk to me like that. Who God think he is? He ain't letting me on his plan. He ain't telling me what he doing. I ain't walking out there no, what, stop, what, move, what? Move, which way you want me to move? Back toward Pharaoh? No, you going right toward the water. Man, you got to be out of your mind. Bam, 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 bam. That's how they get me over the head. Yeah. Straight down. The issue is nobody so far has rebelled, because all Moses got to do is tell them what the plans are we're going to do. God didn't come to 2 million people and tell them. He told one man. And you know what? He's always going to send his vision that way. Singularly, focus. Because the thing about it is that you need someone to stand on the ground, and you need some people to stand on the shoulders of the person that's standing on the ground. And if you're behind the wall, your vision is not what the guy's vision is that stands on your shoulder. Designed by God. Because see, what will happen if I do it to all 2 million of y'all, y'all will call a meeting. And it ain't time for meeting, it's time for moving. Whenever there's going to be a meeting, because there's going to come a time when he's going to speak to the whole congregation. But the issue is, it's time for moving, not meeting. Not to be debated or discussed. Just move out. Next verse. My exposition was one verse a little too soon, but I'll jump on it right now, Terry. Notice that he said, use the rod. Moses, you represent me, but that rod of yours represents my authority. Don't you get up, lift up your hand, empty. You lift up my authority. When you lift up that authority, you're declaring whatever you're about to say, it's from me. It's from the God who created the waters. It's from God who created the children. Look up your, but, Lord, how do you want me? What can I do to get the people's attention to tell them that they need to move out and all of that? He says, use what you got. Use the rod. You've been given authority. You've been given the authority to make this occur. I'm working now, not you. You wouldn't do it that way. And I guarantee you, everybody in here who has a boss, there has been times in your life when you said, I certainly would not do that way. But let me show you. On most days, there are some people on the staff whose job it is to tell the boss, I wouldn't do it that way, and this is the way I would proceed, and these are the reasons why. And the boss would say, Sneed, why are you telling me not to do something that I want to do? Boss, my job is, I got one job. Keep you out of jail. That's always been my job. I'm telling you guys, anybody I ever worked for, tell old man, my job is to keep you out of jail. I'm going to do the right thing. Now, you can do whatever you want to, and I'll help you do what you need to do as long as it ain't going to jeopardize me. That means I ain't taking no order that's unlawful. But if you give me a lawful order, Doc, I implement so quick, you won't even believe it. He said, man, my steam moves so quick. I'm going to help him get it done so I can go do something else. I've stated what I'm going to say, and that's it. I move on. But God says, in the time of war, let me tell you one thing. In time of war, here's the thing about it. I want to kill as many of the enemy as I possibly can while preserving my own life. That's a heavy task. And part of that is doing what you're told to do. Those who have the orders. He's got the orders. He knows that there's a regiment coming over here, over the hill over here. I'm thinking, we're going to do it. The six of us going to do this by ourselves? Davis, we're going to do this by ourselves? The platoon sergeant said, take the hill. He knows that he got reinforcements over the hill. I don't. Don't make sense. But if I believe in his authority, if I trust his authority, I'm going to move out. So Moses, you go, take the rod. And when you get to the Red Sea, don't just hold the rod. Lift up the rod. Lift up the rod. Next verse. I will. Verse 18. Does the children of Israel at this point in the narrative, do they understand what the plan is? They don't? Sister Mills? Sister Mills said no. Anybody else? What about you, Sister O? No, they don't understand. They don't know what the plan is, right? But did you notice in these last two verses, God is telling Moses the plan. They don't know, but the commander knows. They don't know, but God knows. And God has just told the commander, go tell the troops, this is what's going to happen. This is some insight into the plan. Because you got to know enough of the plan, the overall objective. You got to know the vision. If you don't know the vision, if you don't understand the purpose, you won't know why we exist. So you give them enough of it just to say, this is this, but I want you to do this. The implementation will come in the next step. So go tell them this. And that's exactly what they did. Y'all look at this. He unveils his plan. Then God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them the pillar of the cloud and went from before their face and stood behind them. He makes a move, Harry. Wait a minute. He told them to move. Y'all go that way, and I'm going to move. The move is a defensive move. The move is so that they would be, you got my presence. You know I'm leading you, but you also need my protection. So I'm going to go to the back, to the rear. I've been leading, but I've explained what the pathway is. The pathway, the goal, is go to the river, go to the sea, go through the sea. But meanwhile, I'm right here behind you. I'm right here. And that's what everybody thought. Oh, God's going to be there. And that's right. He said it was his battle. So he's going to fight him and all that. You know, I can see it now. Oh, he's going to strike him down here. He's going to strike him down there. God didn't give you that part of the plan. God ain't gave you that insight. All he told you to do is you go that way and I'm going this way. And so now you have the protection. But there was something interesting. When he moved to the back, well, y'all see, next verse. No, 20, verse 20. And the camp of? God ain't got to be out front in order to give light. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all read it. Y'all talking about, I'm looking for the light. You ain't got to look for no light. God is light. In other words, there's never a time when God is not light. All God is saying is that I'm positioning to do something else because I can't shine this light on everybody. It'll spoil the plan. The Israelites need to know where they're going. I need to confuse Pharaoh and his army. So when I moved to the back of them, it provided darkness to Pharaoh's team, but yet maintained light for the Israelites. And they just went strutting right on through the sea. Oh, we can see. And Pharaoh's saying, what's happening? See, it causes confusion. He's got to stop. So notice one thing. He told them to stop, and Pharaoh was still advancing. Then he tells them to move, and Pharaoh has to stop. Y'all don't see this. I see salvation at its best right here in these verses. Because God says that he will provide, he is light. There's no darkness in him. That he will provide that light for those that are enlightened. And that he will be a lamp and a light, a lamp and a light to your pathway. In other words, there's nothing that will be dark about the journey that you're about to make. Even though you think it's a dangerous journey, you got light. And see, you know what? There's a lot of that. If you can see something, you ain't as scared as when you're just fumbling around in the dark. The reason Pharaoh had to stop, he said, wait a minute, hold. Can't see. I ain't running. I know some water over there somewhere. And maybe a couple of Israelites with baseball bats. So I better stop. It just makes sense. But it's God that is shutting out the light on Pharaoh because Pharaoh's systems represents darkness. Okay, so we can go. Verse 21. And everybody on the back row just threw up their hand and said, what a miracle. Oh, what a miracle. What a miracle. Guys, y'all can debate, you can discuss, but I'm reading the Word of God. It says the Gulf of Suez was out there. God makes a move and blows. And you know what they were saying? Hey, so you know, the wind wouldn't be that strong. Wait a minute, guys, let me tell you one thing. Are y'all forgetting Genesis 1? And the Spirit of God moved upon the earth and it blew all of this, put all the waters into place. You got to deal with a little old Gulf of Suez. He blew on the waters and the waters backed up. You know, some people have described it as congealing. But the thing that interests me is that the water backing up and all of that, I know now the children of Israel are faithful folk, because that's how you get saved, is by faith. I see the water backed up. It's way over my head. I see the dry ground. Can I make this dash before the waters come back down? The ones that froze up when the waters came back, they went down with the Egyptians. But the ones that got the boogity boogie in their step, I can hear them now. Oh, how we trust God. Oh, how we trust God. And they making a beeline. And the thing that's funny, the thing that's crazy, water is wet. Why isn't they mugged down in mud and they got to drag these old animals? But the animals just walking right on through. They walking right on through. That's God. But then God gives us some insight. He says, you folk are down in that resurrection. The only reason I'm doing it, not because Israel is so good, is because I want the people at resurrection to know that you have been saved. That was by my power. But you are being saved. That every time you come up against a Red Sea incident, I'll be there to blow the waters back. I have you walking on dry land. Every time, without equivocation, you can trust me to do that, because I am also delivering you from the power of sin. Pharaoh is being held back. His power can't touch you. That's what happens during sanctification, folk. The devil is still there. He's still knocking on your door, but God's power, but God moves from in front of you to behind you and says, don't touch this. And you move right on. That's why the devil's mad with you. If I could just. Can somebody build an extension over here? And God says, keep on walking. Because guess what? You can't walk to the middle of the sea and stand still. Keep on walking. There's a destination. You gotta keep going. You gotta go. And that they did. Next week, we're gonna see deliverance. So we've had the Ordo Salutis. You've been saved, got out of bondage. You're being saved. God is now taking you through this Red Sea experience. But notice in the last verse here, he says, what did somebody say? Just read the very last words there. In the last verse of the day's lesson. Hurry, quickly. And yeah, go ahead. The last verse. The water were walls. Next week, we're going to see how the walls came tumbling down and wiped out, because in the previous verse, he says, you will see them no more. He wiped out the very presence of sin. Glorification. All right. See you guys next week.